All right, awesome. What time is it? 7:01, I call this meeting to order. We'll start with some attendance.
Okay, our attendance question tonight is, do you usually talk more or listen more? And we'll start with Senator Alders.
Talk.
Senator Ash.
When other people are talking, I like to listen, and then when other people are listening, I'm usually talking.
Senator Barrios.
Listen.
Senator Bickman.
Listen.
Senator Carlson.
Listen.
Senator Davison.
Listen.
Senator Fisher.
In group settings, listen, but in one-on-one, talking.
Senator Forsberg.
Listen.
Senator Cabetta. Senator Maher.
Talk.
Senator Suki.
Listen.
Senator Usmanova. Senator Walfred.
Listen.
Senator Zierman. Chair Brown. Parliamentarian Falk.
I'm a pretty good listener, but I'd say more of a chatty Kathy.
Chair Hailu.
Any other questions?
Do you usually talk more or listen more?
Yeah, I think I'm a good listener, but I'm not afraid to share.
Chair Happy.
I'd say I'm mostly a listener, but I can be talkative if it's I'm passionate about something.
Co-President Menke.
I'm a talker.
Ombudsperson Nelson.
I'm a talker, but I know when to shut up.
Advisor Rubel.
Depends on the situation, I think, in the environment.
Chair White.
I'm also a talker.
Sorry, I'm staying with you. We do.
Yes. Awesome. Thanks for being here, everyone. And also finding the right room and not interrupting that exam. I really appreciate it. So next we'll go on to approval of the minutes. Are there any discrepancies with last week's minutes? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the next item on our agenda, which is a visit from Doug Thompson, who is this year's inaugural Vice President for Equity and Inclusion. Doug is joining us from the cities, I believe. Doug, why don't you go ahead and maybe introduce yourself to us and maybe talk about some priorities and some initiatives that the VPEI office is working on.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I'm happy to join tonight. Initially, I mentioned to Ben I wanted to be there in person, but I had some personal things that came up that prevented me from joining you in person. So here I am, super excited to be here. As Ben mentioned, I do serve, I am the inaugural Vice President for Equity and Inclusion, and that to me is very exciting. I think this is an exciting time for us at Gustavus because over the last 3 years, we've done some really good work and now we're bringing more things together. So I get to lead, a team, three units, and I want to just talk about what that looks like for me. I have the Academic Support Center, the Center for Inclusive Excellence, and the Center for International and Cultural Education. And within those units are about 10 professionals who have been here. Some have been here as long as many as 20 years. Some are new to Gustavus, and I can tell you they're very committed to serving students and serving our community. So it's an honor and privilege for me to lead them and into the next dimension of equity and inclusion at Gustavus. I'm also chair of the President's Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, which is something that is pretty unique because when our president took over, she came from a corporate culture, and DEI in a corporate setting was far more advanced than many institutions in higher education. And for the last six, almost 7 years, she implemented diversity, President's Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, which over the years have done great work, and I get to chair that committee. Some other things that have come up since I started in the last 3.5 months, we're reimagining our bias response team. Your advisor knows a great deal about that team because she has been a critical piece to what it looks like today. And they have made improvements, not just because I'm here, but over the last several years, things have changed for the better. And it's a group of committed professionals across campus who come together to make certain that we root out bias and hate throughout our campus community to make sure everyone is safe and included. So that is very exciting because we're reimagining what it looks like. We have responded very well over the last several years, but now we're focusing on educating and outreach for our community so we can better give the community a better understanding as to what a bias response team is, what it's not, what is a bias incident, what is a hate incident. You know, how do you encourage people to trust the team with personal issues, with sensitive issues? So we will initiate information sessions ongoing throughout the semester. We're going to close the semester with one, but we're also going to do it throughout the spring semester so we can establish better relationships with the community. And I know that's a really important step to inclusive excellence for us. So I'm excited that that is happening. And I hope you are excited as well, because what that means for us is that if we can encourage people to report incidents, if we could encourage people to have the courage to report incidents and to reduce some of the hate and the bias that we have seen over the years, then we'll have a better, safer, more inclusive campus for all. And, you know, when we look at some of our cases and incidents, you know, we have seen some common themes. So we want to make certain that we identify what that looks like and help the students in particular to face microaggressions, stereotypes. So as you see some of our engagement and learning opportunities over the next 4 to 5 months, we will try to engage in that area, in those areas where we address some of the key issues that we know we are facing as a community. And last, we established most recently an accessibility committee. And this was something that was in place maybe 8 to 10 years ago, but it just went away. And I found that when I came in that the work is being done in so many different silos. So to me, it was very important to bring together the people on campus who have done and are doing great work to address the needs of our community in terms of accessibility and disability services, accommodations. So we're bringing all these people together now, and we have a accessibility committee, which meets on a regular basis. And, you know, we're focusing on what we need to do to serve our students, our faculty, our staff, and our community at large. So very exciting times. You mentioned some of the key initiatives. Those are the initiatives I'm really excited about, but the goal for us is to make certain that we focus on creating a campus community where all are welcome, where there's a strong sense of belonging, where people feel safe, where people feel welcome. And when I say people, I mean faculty, I mean staff, and of course, students, because this wouldn't be possible without you. And really excited about that. And these are institutional goals. We also want to make certain that as an institution, we're attracting, we're retaining students from underrepresented populations to meet their needs, and making certain that when we invite them and recruit them, that we have a community that is very inclusive. So, and that's something we're doing not just with students, but we're doing it with faculty and with staff. So we are doing the hard work that is going to be required for us to move into the next dimension to see Gustavus become the place that we all know it needs to become in order to serve and to continue to do it for the next 100 years. So I'm very excited about that piece. And, you know, one thing I always tell people, I've said it since I came on board, even in my interview process, I'm super excited to be here, but I am not the savior. I alone will not be able to impact, or I won't say impact, but to maneuver all the changes and these things that I just mentioned. This will not take place unless all of us are a part of it. This is a collective effort, and it won't work unless we work it. And when I say we, I speak to all of us.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I really appreciate that. And thank you for all that great information. I think at this time, maybe let's open up the speakers list to if anyone has any questions for Doug, any questions at all, maybe just raise your placard and then we'll add you to the speakers list and you can ask your question.
Ombudsperson Nelson.
Thank you so much for coming to speak to us today, Doug. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. My question is, I love everything that you mentioned. I was wondering what Student Senate can do to help you, and also what we as students can do to help.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. And what is your name?
I'm Bergen.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And That's a great question. And I'm thinking one of the things that the president and I talked about, and it's something that is definitely a priority, is to engage students in a way that we haven't been able to do over the last several years. We have done well with engaging our faculty and staff for DEI development and things of that sort, but we have had a struggle engaging students. And I would love to partner with you and figure out ways we can make that happen. I don't have the answer. I've done my part to reach out to a lot of organizations. I would love to speak and connect with every single organization, but I want us to come together, not just when things happen in the world and when we are upset and when we want to let our voices be heard, or when we want to protest or activate in some kind of way. I want us to come together and be proactive when it's time to do the work. You know, as Martin, Dr. King would always say, it's always, I'm paraphrasing this for now, but it's always right. The time to do right is always right to do the right thing, basically. And in order for us to do the right thing, that takes engagement. And I don't want us to, we know in life things will always happen, but I would love to figure out a way to bring the students together, whether it's bringing speakers, whether it's bringing groups and activities and things. I want to listen to what your needs are to figure out how I can serve, but I also want you all to know that we have some things already in place, and the engagement from the student perspective is not great. It's not as great as we would like it to be. And I would love for your influence, you know, to really help spread the word, get your peers involved, because this work is not just work for oppressed, underrepresented people. This work is important for all of us. And I always like to say that it's not just a moral imperative, but it's good business sense for all of us who are here at Gustavus. And as students, you will always become better when you embrace this equity and inclusion work, because you're going to be better people, better citizens of the world, better professionals, better teachers. And I'm afraid that a lot of times students don't engage because they don't see it as important. So I would love to figure out how do we together get people to see things that are important before another incident takes place.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, the previous speaker kind of took my question, but like I was going to say, like my committee, like Student and Academic Affairs, we would be very excited to collab with you since we kind of have to deal with the student life and like making sure everyone, you know, is comfortable. Like, and there's other committees that help and to collaborate, but I was going to say that we'd be very excited to help. And yeah, I kind of give my time.
Yeah, count me in. I mean, really. And whatever we need to do, how we can sit down, have lunch, brainstorm. But if we need to bring more people, more special events in, we want to be able to do that. I mean, we have some funds out there where we can start to, to do some unique things, whether it's Humanize My Hoodie or bringing in speakers that you want to see or activities that you want to be a part of. We're here to serve you. And first and foremost, I want you all to know I'm here to serve. We're all here to serve. And I want to impress upon you, I want to leave you with a lot tonight, but the one thing I want to leave you with is I hear you. I see you. And to answer your question at the beginning, do you listen more than you talk? Do you talk more than, or do you listen more? And I think for me, I listen more. And I'm all ears. I want to be able to listen to your pain points and to understand, what gets you into a place of discomfort or how do we together figure out ways to make this work significant and important to all. So you count me in, and even though I'm not there tonight, I am very flexible with in terms of scheduling. You know, I will make myself available no matter what time of the day it is. So, count me in.
Senator Barrios?
Oh, I just
wanted
to say can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
The Equity and Inclusive Center want to implement more programs and resources for students. But I was wondering, what kind of like resources or kind of like how has the Equity and Inclusive Center has been reaching out to international students and first generation students?
Okay. Yes. I want to make certain I heard everything. I kind of lost a little bit of your question at the end. You wanted to know how has the Center for Inclusive Excellence served international students or how?
International students and first-generation students.
And first-generation students. Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you for that. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have two. All of the units that report under this new division, Office of Equity and Inclusion, there's some intersection across the board. Obviously, with Academic Support Center, that covers everything because everyone's a student. But we're very unique in the sense that we have the Center for Inclusive Excellence and the Center for International and Cultural Education. So there's some intersection right there. And I know we have First Forward for first generation students. Most recently, we had the celebration, a national celebration. But the plan is to do more because we haven't done as much as maybe we could have. So we want to make certain that we're focusing on first gen students in terms of helping them to adapt, helping them to make the transition, providing different workshops. So as much as we want to do for our entire community, we want to do things that are specific for first-gen students, and that will be done in a more robust way, more so than it's ever been done. I've had conversations with Tom Flunker and with Kareem Watts about doing that. Most recently, I provided a list of all first-gen students to the Center for Inclusive Excellence so that they can start to do better outreach and start to make the connections. And that's something that they didn't have previously. So, you know, that's a small step, but you know, we have to still have the offerings and make certain that we invite first-gen students in. We have speakers, fellow first-gen alumni, faculty, staff. There are different things that we want to put in place. In terms of serving international students, we have the Center for International and Cultural Education. And I got to tell you, I'm impressed every time I get to learn more about the work that they do, because it's so in-depth and they focus on helping international students to transition into a whole different culture. So they are working around the clock to make certain that transition is a smooth transition, but they don't stop there. It's an ongoing process. So when international students need that support, hopefully they know where they can go, and they can go and speak with the professionals in the Center for International and Cultural Education. In terms of programming, I know there are programs that the students put on themselves and things that we also sponsor. Maybe we don't do a good enough job promoting it. I don't know. Have you not heard about those initiatives and programs? Do we need to do a better job in getting it out to the community?
I think some students, especially international students, don't really pay attention to, like, emails. I have got a few emails, but I feel like some international students don't really know where to go if they need help.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just like a little bit kind of like wondering.
And thank you for that question, because just last week in our team meeting, we talked about some strategies to better communicate, to better get the message out. Because as a new person to Gustavus, I was pretty confused. You know, there's so many different platforms and ways in which we can send emails and to different audiences. And I know we didn't quite have an understanding as to how it should work. And there were people who had been here for years who still did not have a great understanding. So we invited our marketing and communications team to come in and talk with us, to share with us ways that we can be effective in getting the message out, not just through email, but through social media, through different platforms on campus, whether it's the video screens to promote our events. So we have to do better, and I'm open to any suggestion you have, because one thing I know about students is you know how to communicate with each other. And when you want those messages spread to fellow students, I know you know how to do it. So maybe you can enlighten us and help us to get those messages out more effectively. So I would love to partner even on the simple things such as messaging.
Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you.
So this actually kind of echoes what we were just talking about, but I personally didn't know very much about the Equity and Inclusion Committee and stuff until tonight. So I'm a person that, like, as a student, doesn't usually read their emails unless it's a person who I know. So I was going to ask if there were any specific resources you wanted us to send out to our constituents. I know I send an email every 2 weeks or so to my group. Is there any, like, specific resources you'd like us to mention?
Yeah, thank you for that. That's great. That's great news. I would love that. Perhaps I can provide updates, things that should be known throughout the campus. One thing I can tell you is before the semester ends, I know December gets really busy as we close out, but we wanted to at least finish strong to get the momentum for the next semester, for J-term, for the spring. And we have a town hall discussion that we had on the table a couple of weeks ago, but I was just concerned that the turnout wouldn't be great because we, you know, I didn't know how to promote it or how to get the word out. But we want to do a town hall community conversation on identity and belonging. And I want that to be one of the first, you know, opportunities for students to come in and speak their mind and to listen and to learn from each other. As a community, I think it's great for us to come together when, you know, when the world is not on fire, even though there are tragic things happening around the world. I still want us to come together when we still can just be proactive about being better as a community. So that is something I would like to do the second week of December. And if I can get that to be a part of your communication, that would be really good for you to communicate that with your constituents.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Hey Doug, yeah, thank you so much for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. So my question is, are you a confidential resource? So if someone was to report something, do you think they should be aware that you're not a confidential resource, or if you are? I'm just asking because I want to have the correct information while sharing information about your the resources on campus. Yeah.
Megan, help me out a little bit with this one, because I know this is one of these tricky ones, and I know you have a lot of, you know, as it relates to Title IX, are you speaking of being, you know, some issues like that where, because if it's shared, I need to report it in that sense? Is that what you're speaking of?
Yeah, so if a student was to come to you and share, can they be sure that, oh, whatever the situation is, whatever they're about to share with you, that it can say confidential? Or are you one of those mandated reporter resources?
Well, gosh, help me out a little bit, Megan, because I'm thinking to myself, I want to say yes and no, because I've, you know, I'm dealing with sensitive issues.
Right.
All the time, where people are coming in and they're speaking, you know, some pretty heavy
yep.
things. But you know, as it relates to certain incidents, because I do work with the bias response team, I would think that certain things would then need to be reported. Am I right, Megan? Because
yeah, so
you know that
Doug is a Title IX mandatory reporter. So he would be required to report for Title IX. And then he's also a campus security authority, which means he would have to report crimes. But short of that, you know, all, like, a lot of administrators on campus sort of have this, like, we will try to really keep things, you know, like, in confidence, unless we have to report because it's Title IX or a crime. But sometimes we might, with your permission, you know, say, hey, I'd like to get so-and-so
yeah.
on the team to help and support you here, sort of on a need-to-know basis, you know?
Yeah.
So there is some required reporting, but beyond that, it would be Doug's judgment, you know, about what the best thing to do with that information would be.
Yeah, it's what Megan said. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Because I want to say yes and no. Because it just really, really depends. But, you know, I've been able to connect with a lot of different people because of having office hours and just trying to outreach into the community. So people have shared things where, you know, they're, you know, it's been very sensitive things, whether it's financial. But, you know, I haven't had the situation where they've shared incidents where I've needed to report it, such as a crime or something of that sort. But, you know, thank you for helping me out with that, Megan.
Thank you.
Awesome. Are there any other questions for Doug at this time? No? Okay. Yeah, Doug, let's thank Doug for coming to speak with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Ben and Regina and senators. Thank you for all that you do for our community. And I want to get there in person. I really do. I just had a situation, but even if there's an opportunity for me to sponsor a lunch for you all, I want to do that. You know, they tell me you like free food. and if I can make that happen, I want to do it sooner than later. So if maybe Regina and Ben, we can work together. We'll put something on in December if it works for everyone before the semester. Because I'd love to just, you know, listen to you face to face and just, you know, learn how we could work together. So thank you. And thanks for the time you've given me tonight. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Yeah. Oh, and then before you go, if we want to see you in person, you have some more office hour sessions tonight?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do. And let me just get this card here. There is one coming up this week. I have one. Okay, so yeah, I have not this week, on the second. So I had one last week on the 18th. The next one is after Thanksgiving on the 2nd in Beck, room 144 from 2 until 5. And then another on the following week on the 7th in Vickner in the PBK room. So, you know, just come, and they're usually posted on these little things throughout campus. Would love to connect with you. I've had a lot of students come through, and you know, they share some of what they're feeling and experiencing on campus. So would love to just connect with you either way.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Sweet. Yeah, it's just water.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for all your amazing questions. I thought that was a really great conversation. Next, we'll move to community comment. Is there anyone from the community that wishes to comment? All right. Next, we'll move into committee updates. The first one is a Board of Trustees Student Life Executive Committee meeting. So that was, there it is. So that was on Friday. Administrative Director Bloom, Ombudsperson Nelson, and I all presented at the Student Life Executive, the Board of Trustees Student Life Executive Committee meeting. And we talked about a student issue that has been kind of recurring over my 4 years, and especially this year, and that's dining services. So for transparency's sake, we wanted to just kind of walk you through all the information that we found out after talking to Steve Shogren, and also the information that we've gotten from student complaints about dining services. And so I would urge you just to, you know, take this in, because next week at the next meeting, Steve will come in, just like Doug did, to answer any questions that we might have and to give any updates. So this might help you think of some questions to ask during that time. So dining services, there were some systemic problems, and Ombudsperson Nelson and Director Bloom, feel free to jump in too at any point. But every year, there's about 350 student employees who work in the CAF and dining services, but this year there's only 118 who work. And so that kind of explains why there's this like big lack in hours, because they just can't find people to work. And there's a 30% vacancy for full-time staff as well this year. There are supply chain issues. Steve told me that one time they ordered 30 cases of orange juice and only 4 arrived. So they've been having to make do with kind of a limited supply. And the issues brought to Student Senate, you know, pricing and cashier concerns, they're getting overcharged. There's a meal plan structure with some people having too much or too little. Some people say there's a lack of variety. And then there's some like issues with the dietary restrictions. Brady, do you want to expand on that part?
I know that a lot of people have some issues in the CAF with like vegan options, not actually being vegan and labeled vegan, same with like gluten-free options. And I know that the dietitian here works really hard to fix that up, but it still is an issue when students are getting sick from that, when things are labeled as such. This is something I've been bringing back and forth to Student Senate since my freshman year here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been a recurring issue, and it's only been made worse because of the lack of staffing so far. So after we brought these issues, we raised some potential solutions that we all brainstormed. So the first three include, like Ombudsperson Nelson was saying, working with the dietitian to monitor ingredients and gluten-free and vegetarian options. Another one is more resources, so like putting more financial resources or increasing wages of the student employees in the CAP for full-time workers so that we can get people who can, you know, provide us food. And then finally, this is the really important part, is educating students. I found out during my conversation with Steve that we just need to inform students about how they can address their own concerns. So if you have an issue with your meal plan, you can talk to Steve about adjusting that meal plan if it's not working for you. And if you have like a dish that you really want them to make in the CAF, you can actually email, there's an email address called chef@gustavus.edu that you can email with suggestions or feedback. And I just learned that during that meeting, so that's something we can educate our fellow students about. Another one is the food drive. Senator Cochran, I believe, has been implementing that, and that should be ramping up pretty soon. Did you have any details about that?
Not yet. She's currently at CNCC, which is why she's not at the meeting, but I plan on reaching out to her probably next week, since this week's break, to ask for clarification, and I think she's going to need like Senate volunteers to work it at the end of the month, which would be next week, so keep an eye out for that.
Perfect. Yeah, and use of dining plan money in the bookmark to, you know, for folks who don't use enough of their funds every month. And then changing the rollover amount. I found out that decades ago, Student Senate actually recommended the $20 monthly rollover. And so if we've made the recommendation one time, if it's not working for students, we can recommend an increase if we feel like that might be necessary for some folks. So those are six solutions that we thought of. You know, as cabinet members, we can't really act on those. But if you're interested at all in any of them, feel free to bring this up in new business, either tonight or at a future meeting, if you want to charge a committee to look into these issues and talk with dining services, or we could ask Steve about them at the next meeting. And then we have the board just discuss sort of all this stuff. So that's our committee update.
Just a point of inquiry. Do we know if the wage is going to increase to $15 when it increases in January for the state?
I actually don't know. I would imagine so. Probably not.
This is a private institution, so they can set the wage, which is largely based off like your student employment allotment.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's case by case, but like they can set whichever. Like if they wanted to keep it, I'm not saying it was 7.25, but like if they wanted to keep it 7.25, they could
legally. Yeah, I think we should definitely ask Steve that question as well, just to get his take on it. Because yeah, that's also true. Yeah.
So did you talk at all about
Senator Ash? I'm sorry to interrupt. Thank you, Senator.
You nodded at me. Did you talk about like the finances at all specifically? I know. It was mentioned that like the CAF like barely stays in the black, and yet it seems from the numbers that you provided that they're operating at like a third or less if you count the understaffing of the full-time faculty
mm-hmm.
of their normal, you know, body of workers. Presumably students aren't eating less at the CAF, and yet I don't believe I've heard of any increase of drastic increase of the wages of the students who are working there. So presumably they're just not paying as much for their employees on the whole. So
I think that's a fair assessment. We didn't talk about how they're doing this year, although most years, yeah, they are barely above the black, like they don't make a profit.
Yeah.
They're a nonprofit sort of organization. But when we talked about finances, we talked about possibly the board or some sort of office infusing more resources to increase the wages to make them more competitive. So that's all we talked about with finance. But I would imagine, you know, if they're not paying a bunch of staff, they're probably probably farther ahead of the margin. But that's just my guess. I mean, we can ask them that question as well.
Yes.
On one of your slides, did you, when you were saying increased wages, is it just for full-time staff or for also for students too?
Steve and us, we all agree that students would be a part of that too. Because otherwise, you know, it's just not a very competitive job. You know, people would rather just go get 22 an hour at Quick Trip than, you know, work in the cab. That's just, you know, how we saw things.
Senator Maurer?
I'm in the Environmental Sustainability Council, and Steve's on there, and he said that actually, like, the lunch rushes are down. Overall, I think there is less students going to the CAP. Mm-hmm. So I think my incoming class of freshmen primarily have been, because of COVID, we don't go out as much anymore. We're more reclusive than past classes. So I think there is less people actually going to the CAP than even at least that's what Steve made it sound like in our past meeting. I yield back.
Ombudsperson Nelson?
First of all, that would be a great question for when Steve does come next week. I also wanted to throw out there that things might be more expensive now with, like, supply chain issues. Mm-hmm. So it might, we don't know the case, but it might be that they aren't making as much of a profit as we currently think.
Awesome. Does anyone else have any other questions about that proposal? So otherwise, we can move on to old business. Okay, seeing none. Oh, sorry, was there one?
Yes.
Sorry.
Senator,
yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so I remember us talking about, I think it was health and housing, we charged with looking into putting more garbage cans on campus and the showerhead situation. I just had a few students asking about if there were any updates for both of those. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
We had two, for the garbage cans, I talked to Anthony. He said that would be something that we'd go to. Here we go. I'm forgetting stuff. Physical plan.
Yep.
Oh, yes. In our committee, we have classified tests since we've had a lot. And two people are currently working on that. And the head of physical plant. He's a busy person, so trying to find out time to meet with him. But we also, while finding a time to meet with him, want to find out more about how many shower heads are missing and where. I asked last time in one of the meetings, it was just a general answer where it's on the third floor, but we don't know exactly. And we would love if there's something that you can do to get us exact numbers, that would be amazing. So that physical plant won't have to go through and look at all of them. Yeah.
And with the garbage can situation, does that include getting more garbage cans in the mess halls?
So those garbage cans are, we're looking at the ones that were funded before, I believe, from what we were charged. So we're going to talk to him about, where those garbage cans are right now, or if they're going to be put out, same as the water filling station.
Okay. I get my time.
Point of order. Isn't this an old business?
These are questions, a request for a committee update.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused because Ben kind of moved.
Oh.
Co-president Menke moved really quickly, so I wasn't sure where this was at.
Yeah, point of information. I rescinded that.
I yield.
Senator Alders?
No, I don't technically know if this would be considered new business or not, but I was just going to echo what Senator Suki said about the garbage cans, because I found out today that a lot of the freshmen think that the Gusty Wurbans are garbage cans, and I can imagine that whoever picks that up is probably angry, even though, especially since this is a student-centered initiative and not a Gustavus campus initiative. So if people could send out emails letting people know that the Gusty Wurbans in the dorms are not garbage cans and that we are trying to get new garbage cans, that would be awesome. I yield my time.
Chair White?
Yeah, to that point, I just wanted to add that Senator Barrios and then Senator Walford are currently working on Gusty Wear posters to put on all of the Gusty Wear containers. So that, not the containers, but like the garbage bin things. So that should hopefully help with the process.
Any other business and committee updates? Okay, seeing none. Old business? Is there any old business that we would like to discuss tonight? Okay, seeing none. Is there any new business to discuss? Any new business? Okay, announcements. Are there any announcements?
Cool. Advisor Rubel. Hopefully you all saw the email that I sent out today about any of you that might want to host the Nobel conference speaker. The topic is about young people, you know, next to your mental health among young people. And I have heard senators in the past who have been hosts who have said what a fantastic experience it was in getting to know them and spending time with them. So come December 4th, I think the app's for you. So don't hesitate if you're thinking about it to fill one out. I yield.
Director Bloom?
I want to echo what Advisor Rubel said. I was a Nobel host this year, and even though it got moved online, it was really fun. It's not too much work. You get to meet some really great people. And if you're really into mental health and inequities in mental health care, this would be a really great Nobel conference for you to be a part of. I also just want to say thank you for showing up. I know it's break week and it sucks to be here still and that we're all burnt out, but thank you for showing up. And if you're driving home, drive safe and have a good break. Yeah, with that, I yield.
President Menke. First, just a point of inquiry for Advisor Rubel. Where can you find the application?
I believe it was linked in that email.
It is. It's a Google form in the email. And if you need it still and you can't find it, I can also forward it.
Awesome.
If you email me.
Yeah, so my announcement on that point, yes, definitely do that. I was basically a Nobel host, but like I was just in charge of the workshops. But still, even being a part of the Nobel committee is just awesome. And with it almost certainly being in person next year, fingers crossed, it was online this year, but next year it'll hopefully be in person. And if you're passionate about mental health and mental health inequity and justice, you'll get to meet like world-class scholars who are interested in that as well and talk to them and find shared interests. It's really cool. Second thing, yeah, Steve Chelgren is coming in next meeting. Please prepare some questions for him. Hopefully that presentation helps. It's in the admin director folder in the shared drive if you want to look at it to prepare. I yield.
What's Steve's technical role?
Advisor Rubel, do you know what it is?
Director of Dining Service. Well, no, that's not true. He's actually Associate Vice President for Auxiliary Services.
Yeah.
But he is one of those roles is Director of Dining Service.
Okay.
Awesome. Any other announcements? Okay, seeing none at 7:49, this meeting is adjourned. Mm-hmm.